This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3070 for Friday the 8th of May 2020. Today's show is entitled Making Vim XDG Compatible and is part of the series Vim Hints. It is hosted by CRVS and is about 51 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, move your Vim configuration out of the home directory.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hackett Public Radio. This is CRVS, and I'm going to talk about, Vim, and I'm going to talk about basically what I spent a while doing yesterday, which is moving the Vim configuration from the main home folder to .config. This wasn't a particularly trivial task. And so I'm gonna walk you through it, so to speak. So here we go. So as anyone that uses Vim might know, the way you configure Vim is by editing this file called vimrc, which lies in your home folder called .vim. It's called .vimrc. And because we don't like having a bunch of files starting with a dot in your home folder, configuring any and every application you might have, this is a bit of a nuisance. So then we would like to move that file away. And this is actually one of the reasons people quote to switching to NeoVim, which is a more recent re-implementation of classic Vim, or semi-classic. I mean, classic would be, I guess, VI, but yeah, you get the idea. Anyway, so since we have our vimrc in our home folder, we want to take it away from the home folder and put it in the home .config. And to do that, the first thing we need to do is to so there's like two options here, which is one, having the file vimrc stuck in our home folder, and that's fine, and the other one is stuck in our .config folder, and then every time we call vim, we call it with the option minus c, I guess. Let me see. It's minus F minus capital C. No, that's compatible. Ah, minus capital F. Or minus U, actually. So this is the reason why we don't want this, because we don't actually, this is not a very helpful flag at all. I guess Klaatu would probably complain about it being a single letter flag. There is no other one. There is no long flag, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so either call it with minus U and the new location of your vimrc always, and that's just you insert an alias into your bashrc, for example, or you do something completely different, which is use this variable called viminit, and that's v-i-m-e-i-n-i-t, and that will allow you to specify a command that that Vim should run as soon as it starts. And so that's what I chose to do, is to have a vimrc, when it starts, instead of having a vimrc, it does source.config/vim/vimrc. And so what that does is that now that the now Vim knows to go and to go into .config/vim/vimrc as our main configuration file, and then in that file we have to handle all the problems of now our plugins are not in the .vim folder where they expect where they are expected to be, and this is where short Vim script that was that I found in. Posted on GitHub, and I adapted it, and I will put a link to my GitLab where I have this file, and I'll also post the file in my in the show notes, and let's take a look at it actually. So vim.config vim and that's xdg.vim. So xdg is the is sort of the system, this configuration system. So if you do xdg open, you open a file with the default opener for that type of file. So if you open a video, it will be your default video player. If you open a text file, it will be your default text editor, and those kinds of things. So if I, well, that, but before we actually go into that, I need to go into vimr, into the actual vimrc, because that's the one that calls this file. So that's /vim/vimrc, and so this is very simple. The what we do now is very simple. It's first we set no compatible to sort of stop Vim from trying to be extremely compatible with VI, and then we turn file type off, because at this point file type needs to be turned off for some reason. Otherwise, the plugin loader will have problems. And then it needs to be turned back on. It doesn't matter though. That's a problem for another instance, where for someone who knows more about plugin management systems in Vim than me to talk about. So yeah, so then I source this xdg.vim, which I got from a gist on GitHub. It's in the references of this xdg.vim file, and once you source it, this one now establishes the directories in the within the xdg sort of configuration management system. There we go. So that first of all it creates variables for the for xdg cache home, xdg config home, and xdg data home, and these are within under /.cache, /.config, and /.local.share, and these sort of these will sort of be used so that you don't so that you put different parts of the Vim configuration in different places. For example, you want your Vim main Vim configuration file to be in your .config folder, but you don't really care that the actual plugins that are fetched from GitHub be in your .config folder, because you don't want your config folder to get out of hand. So you generally will try to keep those in the data, in the xdg/data_home, or I'm now getting myself confused for a second here, xdg data home, yes, and that is done by setting this runtime path, which the important thing is that xdg_data_home/vim/bundle/vundle.vim. I use vundle as my
as my plugin manager. And so as long as your plugin manager is in the runtime path, it will be able to run it in your Vim config. And where is... Yes, and once that is, and once Vundle is loaded from that point in the runtime path, it's not a problem anymore because all the other plugins will be installed to where Vundle is. Yeah, that's what I was missing in my head. It's another nice thing is that it puts the undo directory, the backup directory, in the directory where all the swaps and other types of files that Vim uses to keep track of what you have been doing, so that when you restart Vim, you can just press Control O and go to the last file you edited. It keeps them in the .cached folder because this is sort of volatile data that you should be able to just get rid of and not really have a problem with Vim still working. I mean, ideally you could have some daemon going through the cache folder every now and again and seeing when a file is older than, let's say, 20 days, just get rid of it, because, well, you don't want to keep your web cache for that long. If it hasn't been accessed in 20 days, it's probably something you looked at and you haven't used since. Maybe I should write a script to that. Anyway, yeah, other than that, there's like really nothing to it. Now once you put Vim in it to first load your VimRC and VRC to load XDG that I will put in the show notes, then you can just do what you would normally do, which is call the Vundle to load your plugins and stop, and then when you're done loading the plugins, do your all your other configurations. And there you have Vim running from your .config folder instead of from your home folder. And you didn't have to start using NeoVim. I don't actually know why I wouldn't just switch to NeoVim. Well, I do, because Vim is old, and old programs that work tend to be better than new programs that seem to work. Or at least that's my opinion, for now, at least. Well, thank you for listening, and have a nice one. This is CRVS for Hacker Public Radio, and join tomorrow again for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. I should really speak slower.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.